I was wrong. We'll explain in this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Let me acknowledge my sponsors who pay for this podcast so you don't have to. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Brandon Legal Group hopes you never need legal assistance. They do. But if you do, they will offer you a free consult at 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. Full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. As one example, for over 2 years now, permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida. So if you are an adult male and a resident of the state of Florida, and you legally are paying permanent alimony to someone, the law is on your side. Brandon Legal Group can help reduce or potentially eliminate future financial obligations from permanent alimony. That's just one service they provide. BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. The consultation is free. Plantation Palms Golf Club will host the season opener of the Todd Wright Tour. To play in my golf tournament, you must email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. For tee times any other day than October 11th when we host Todd Wright Tour 52, you can visit plantationpalms.net and pretty easily book your tee time to play their championship course, which recently had new tee boxes put in, not top dressed, new tee boxes put in on the par 3 7th and the par 3 17th. Par 3 7th is a tough hole. Par 3 17th is not. Now, if you're short and right or really long, you're in trouble on 17. But funny, they're kind of laid out the same. The bailout, as long as you have the right club, is left on both holes. But 17 is much easier than 7. Jesse Pratt is the general manager of Plantation Palms Golf Club, and he's a better man than me. He's a better human being than me. He's a better golf brain than me. He also cares about every aspect of this property. Not just the championship golf course. He cares about the driving range, which has lights. He cares about the mini golf, which is becoming amazing. There's a monthly mini golf contest, and the final five play it out. A month ago, someone won over $700 cash at Mulligan's Mini Golf. It has lights and a great sound system. Mulligan's Pub, food and beverage. I think you'll enjoy it. They do trivia nights. They have a private banquet room for your private event. I've used it many times for the Todd Wright Tour and will on October 11th. And I've been in there for some Plantation Palms special events, a casino night. Some of their trivia nights have been in there. Plantation Palms Golf Club, visit them online at plantationpalms.net. Again, if you want to play in Todd Wright Tour 52, October 11th at Plantation Palms Golf Club, you got to buy your tee time from me. None of our 52 tournaments have charged $100 or more for tournament fees. This one is number 52. I care about keeping money in your pocket. So if you want a well-organized team golf event to play in as an individual or with your friends, with your regular foursome, we welcome new players every event. We are open to the public. We are not a private club. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com is how you do that. Email for podcast purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. I was going to bury the lead on the I was wrong, but I know you want to hear it first, right? You want to hear where I'm admitting I screwed up. I'll make this a monthly thing. So years ago, I had a few people say to me, you ought to watch this show. And I said, no, thanks. And it was at a time in our world, you still hear those outdated ads, these challenging times, where a lot of people were shut in. So finding entertainment available via traditional television or streaming television was at a premium. It meant more because of limited options. And that's when this show first hit. And I said no. It didn't have anybody in it I really knew or cared about. I knew some of the names. And the more it was brought up to me, the more I resisted. No, 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 no. Years went by, and it was available on a streaming service. And I'm one of those who bounces around with my streaming money. I play the promotion game. I know that every year, on or around Black Friday, one or more of these services are going to offer a deal. They do it at other times of year, too. They're like the banks that cut the better deal for the customer they don't have, rather than taking care of the customer they do. It's wrong. So I'm going to play the game. So I played the game with this streamer, took the promotional deal, and I've done it on and off for a few years now. And I've enjoyed some of their other programming. All right, so now let's narrow it down and let's go for it. A show I really like from this streamer, Apple TV Plus, is Shrinking. I have liked it from the word go. I knew people in it. I just looked at it and everybody involved, and I said, yeah, this show's going to be good. It has delivered. I look forward to season 3, to the appearance of Michael J. Fox. There's some connections there with why Michael J. Fox is doing the show. I think it's just one episode, but it's fantastic that he's going to do this. I really enjoy that program. So I'm one of those, since I'm just going to jump in for a month or so at a time, I gotta take advantage of the money I'm spending. So while I'm there, while I'm paying for your service, I'm going to see what else is there that can entertain me for a while between the episodes of the show that I really want to watch. So I did that recently with an Apple TV promotion. I jumped in for the John Hamm show, which was good. Not as good as Shrinking, but it was good. So I watched the John Hamm show. Then I hung around for the golf show with Owen Wilson. As I've said here on the podcast, Owen Wilson to me is good in anything. He was good in this show on Apple TV, the golf show. Everything else about it was not good. Everything else about it. Owen Wilson, good. Everything else about the show stunk. Then I got into a bad show called Smoke. It was one of those shows that was so bad, I couldn't stop watching. I'm embarrassed. I talked to my friend Drew Garabo about this show, who talks about shows on his show on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay. This show's never come up because it's so bad. Drew doesn't watch it. None of his listeners who call watch it. He knows if any listener ever calls up and references the show Smoke, he knows I have everything he needs. Why did I keep watching? I am a Journey Smollett apologist. But boy, It does have Greg Kinnear in it. You can't say that very much anymore. I'm not saying he's good in it. There's not much good in the show. So let's get to the I Was Wrong. In between episodes of the John Hamm show, the Owen Wilson show, and let's just say the Journey Smollett show, I was like, all right, let's go ahead and watch this. And I do this sometimes. I watch an established show in reverse. Some think it's weird. That's fine. So I said, I'm going to watch season 3 of Ted Lasso. And I'm going to see how much of it I can get through, see what everybody else is talking about. Knowing full well, some of the same people that told me I had to watch Ted Lasso criticized season 3. So I watched season 3. Also, my theory on, I've done this with Westworld on a different streamer. I've done it with the Newsroom on a different service. And I've done it with a couple of others where I jump in later. And if I like it, I'll work my way back. No, I didn't do it with Westworld. No, I started at the beginning with Westworld. Yeah. It did get really bad at the end. Maybe if they were able to finish the story, but yeah. Oof. Okay, so back to Ted Lasso. I watched season 3, and I stayed with it, and I liked enough of it to say, all right, I see what people are talking about, even the ones who criticize season 3. And I was content. And then a month or so later, I was like, well, let's go back and watch season 2. And I did. And it was interesting how some things started to make more sense from season 3. Again, this amuses me. And I finished season 2. And I told Garabo that I did this. And I said, I'm done because I still don't like they stole the major league storyline. Here's what I mean by that. I knew from the beginning it might have been one of the reasons I resisted, other than soccer being its setting and not being a soccer fan at all. The woman wants to tank the team. I don't care her reason. It's a female owner who wants to tank the team. And that's why she's doing what she's doing. It's her own little dirty secret. That's the whole premise of what gave us the movie Major League, written by a Cleveland Indians fan who thought, if I don't write a movie where they make the World Series, I'll never see my team play in the World Series. He was wrong. They made the 95 World Series. So that was why I held on and I said, I'm never going back to watch season 1 because I know that's a big part of season 1. And that's a ripoff of the movie Major League. So just within the last week or so, I did go back against my word and I watched season 1. And I watched all the way to the end. So now, in reverse order, I've watched all season 3, all season 2, then all season 1. So now I have everything. I was wrong. This is one of the best television shows I have ever watched. I'll say it again. I was wrong. Ted Lasso is one of the best television shows I've ever watched, and I still have no interest in soccer. I still disagree with people that say it's not a soccer show. Yeah, it is. When you make it the setting, it is. All right, we can argue how much it means, but it's the setting. It's still one of the best shows I've ever watched. I kind of hate that they're doing a season 4, and it feels like the actors, at least one or two, who are doing season 4, don't want to do it. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward. I don't know if I'm going to be interested. Save that for another time. I was wrong. I was wrong to resist those who said Ted Lasso is a good show, or that I would like Ted Lasso, even though I don't like or care for soccer. I'm not saying you can't watch soccer. I'm just saying it's not for me. All right? We all have our likes and dislikes. But I was wrong. Ted Lasso is a really good show. And I hope they don't. Some would say they've already hurt themselves by doing season 3, but it did kind of wrap the story. And now they're doing season 4. Okay. We've been down this road with other movies and other TV shows. All of you can give me an example of that. But yeah, I was wrong. Ted Lasso is one of the best television shows I've ever watched. Where do I want to go next? I have a couple of things. Well, speaking of golf and how bad the show Stick was, I'm not wrong on that. Stick stunk. Owen Wilson, good in anything. He doesn't validate making the show watchable. He's Owen Wilson. He was also surprisingly good in Loki. And I guess Apple's just trying to keep him happy now. Maybe he has a new deal with them. So the golf season ended yesterday with a couple of things happening. First of all, it's smart that the pro golf season now wraps up before the football season starts. I know it's very American to say this, and golf is not solely an American game. However, the PGA Tour, over time, has changed when majors are played, even changed when the Players' Championship was played, and wraps up their regular season with their featured event before college and pro football start. And I know some will say, well, we had some college football games over the weekend. Yeah, that. I'm not saying those don't count, but those are, that's a different animal. It's not a full weekend. It's before Labor Day. College football starts on Labor Day weekend. The NFL starts the weekend after that for now. That'll change soon. The NFL will start on Labor Day weekend when they go to the 18-game schedule with two byes. Golf wrapped up yesterday, and you had a player in Tommy Fleetwood who had gagged multiple chances to win for the first time on the PGA Tour and on American soil within the last month, in that position again with four holes to play at the Tour Championship. And on a tough hole, I have covered this tournament, I know that hole, misses the green, makes bogey, while his competitor is in a position with a birdie putt. It could have been a two-shot swing, and here we go again. It wasn't. And some have flocked to social media or otherwise when Tommy Fleetwood went on to win the Tour Championship to say, See, it doesn't change all the ones he's lost. I get that he broke through. And you know what? It was a lot easier for him to break through against a guy who in majors and in this situation in the Tour Championship, I call Patrick can't play, or Patrick slow play, or Patrick can't putt. Or I just can't stand Patrick Cantlay. That was the perfect guy for Tommy Fleetwood to play down the stretch to win his first event on U.S. soil. Because Cantlay doesn't have it. and didn't have it. Meanwhile, in Michigan and over on Fox, we had John Rahm and his team battling Bryson DeChambeau and his team in a season-ending event for the LIV Tour. Oh, LIV. Oh, they're so bad. The event was in Michigan. It was live on Fox. And I'm going back and forth. And then once Fleetwood hit the fairway on 18, I felt there was nothing left to watch on NBC on the Tour Championship or switching over to Golf Channel for their coverage. Because all that was going to happen once Fleetwood raised the FedEx Cup, which I also, with bare hands, have touched, and I'm not supposed to do that, but I did, calling one of those playoff events for PGA Tour Entertainment a number of years ago. All we were going to get was the golf infomercial shit. And all these announcers with NBC, and then their NBC announcers paid by Golf Channel, basically patronizing Tommy Fleetwood, talking about how great he is, talking about what this win means, talking about how this was so overdue, it would be nauseating. I didn't need any of that. Instead, the better players were still playing. They were on a course in Michigan, playing in a unique team format for a LIV team championship. Seriously. Would you rather watch John Rahm go head-to-head with Bryson DeChambeau, let alone the format? Okay, let's just tear it down. Would you rather watch John Rahm go one-on-one with Bryson DeChambeau, or would you rather watch Tommy Fleetwood go one-on-one with Patrick Cantplay? The quality of the golfers, the quality of play, the drama, the excitement, edge LIV. I think LIV took a significant step yesterday, and it certainly didn't hurt them that their match went to a playoff, two extra holes, and lasted longer in real time than Tommy holding off Patrick Cantputt in the Tour Championship. Now, some of you won't accept this because you just have immediate bias towards LIV. And until LIV doesn't exist, until LIV ceases to exist, you won't be satisfied. After yesterday, with what I saw, I think it furthers the fact that LIV Golf isn't going away. They have some decisions to make because some big contracts are up, but it's not like they're hurting for money. And I keep saying, you know, if someone with LIV could get close enough to Scottie Scheffler's wife and wave a big check and get Scottie to at least consider the wife saying, we need to think about this check, that would actually get the two tours to work together. Because while Scottie didn't win the Tour Championship, the thought of Scottie leaving for LIV would be enough for the tour to wave a white flag the size of the United States at LIV and say, we surrender. What do you need? Let's work together. Drop all the bans on players who went to LIV. Figure it the fuck out. the better players, the better golf. For longer, the better excitement. In the day that these tours wrapped up yesterday, was on the LIV side. Sure, why not? One more for you while I have you. So recently, I was having a chat with someone about how the Bucks lose too often these days in the early rounds of the playoffs, and how I expect they will do that again this year, that nothing has changed, and that a big reason for that is because they are led by a head coach who cannot get them to a Super Bowl and win it. And it's based on what I tell you on a regular basis about how the only teams that win Super Bowls or even get to Super Bowls in the modern era are head coaches who are involved with offense. And Todd Bowles is not. We've talked about the Bucks losing more home playoff games in the last handful of years than any other team in the National Football League. And what's interesting about that is they never win enough games in the regular season to earn the first round bye to get the privilege of not playing a first round game and just being in that sort of God spot, win one home game and you're in the Final Four. Nothing's changed. So I don't expect it will change with the Buccaneers, which is why I don't think they are a Super Bowl contender. And I brought up how who they have lost to, and even how Tom Brady went out, losing at home, not only to the Rams. He did all he could to bring the Bucs from behind, and then Bowles blew it with no or a poor defensive plan for Stafford against Cooper Kupp to set up the game-winning field goal for Matt Gay, as the Rams won that divisional playoff game. And then the next year, Dak Prescott wins his second and, in my opinion, his last NFL playoff game as quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, head-to-head with Tom Brady and the Bucks, and that's the last of Tom Brady. The Buck apologist that I talked to about this immediately responded by saying, oh yeah, the only road playoff game the Cowboys have won in the last 30 years. Let me give you the definition of hypocrisy. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. So let's review the entire NFC and the last road playoff win for every franchise in the NFC. You can do this for the AFC if you want. I'm just going to do it for the NFC to make a point. Last road playoff win for all NFC teams. And you know what? Is it fair to say that the COVID year, no team was truly a road team? The stands weren't full. In some cases, the attendance was zero. Best case, the attendance was what? 6,000-7,000? Did anyone have a true home field advantage in any COVID year playoff game? No. Were those traditional home playoff games? No. They weren't. So we're only referencing true road playoff wins. COVID games do not qualify. NFC. Last true road playoff victory. Okay. Let's go most recent to longest since. Washington did it twice last year. Good on you. 2023, Green Bay. 2022, Dallas at Tampa Bay. 2022, Giants, one at Minnesota. 2021, Rams at Tampa Bay. 2021, San Francisco. I believe that was a Green Bay. One of those Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, he's not so good anymore. Skipping over 2020, since no one had a traditional home field advantage, hence, it's not a true road playoff win under COVID situation. 2019, Minnesota, road playoff win. 2019, Seattle, road playoff win. Last road true road playoff win for Philadelphia was 2018. 2017, road playoff win for Atlanta. I think that was at the Rams. I don't see anything, anyone's last true playoff road win, 2016. 2015. We got to go back to 2013 for the next one. That's the Saints. Then next in line, 2008, Arizona's last road playoff win. 2005, Carolina's last true road playoff win. And now we get to the Bucks. 2002, closing the vet. You all know it. That's their last true road playoff win. Over 20 years ago. So part of your problem now is, yeah, you win the division every year. That's great. You can't win at home, and you have no history of winning on the road. As a matter of fact, your last true road playoff win is your only true playoff win in the now 50-year history of the franchise. You're not a Super Bowl contender. You can't win at home, and you have no history of winning on the road. How are you supposed to win in the playoffs? By the way, only two NFC franchises have gone longer since a true road playoff win in the NFL, non-COVID. Bears 94, Detroit 1957. Yikes. So for the Buccaneer apologist who threw that fastball at my head, saying the Cowboys win at the Bucs a few years ago in the playoffs. Their last road playoff win in 30 years. Yeah, you've had one in the last 25 years, non-COVID, and only one in the 50-year history of your franchise. That's the definition of hypocrisy. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Plantation Palms Golf Club. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.